All right, Joe, say good morning. Good morning. Let us begin. Begin by thanking all of our sponsors for this morning's shiur. To thank our Talmud Torah sponsor for the month of Shvat, Mrs. Selma Wolf, for dedicating all the shiur and drush shows this month. For dedicating all the shiur and drush shows this month. With gratitude for the refuels from Hashem and the merit of a refuel shlemer for all of those in need, in the schus of our brave soldiers and the merit of Hashem in the schus of the return of our hostages. Our week of learning sponsors, Derek and Lauren Fine, in memory of Derek's mother, Rachel Bas Shmuel. And of course, we dedicate all the Maseches Baba Kama Le'ilu Yinishmas, Master Sergeant Eliyahu Michal Harush Hashem Yikom Dama. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, all of the Neshamas will have an aliyah, and the families a nechama. But say with that, let us begin. We have a lot to do today, Baruch Hashem. Today is a beautiful, beautiful daf of Daf Tzadik Dalet 94, and we are picking up Emir Hashem on Tzadik Gimel Amud Beis. Thank you, Sam. Thank you. 93b, five lines up from the bottom. Begin again, just by wishing again a Mazel Tov to our Chaver Abdobi Elman. On the beautiful bar mitzvah of his son Amin, this past Shabbos, Baruch Hashem, an incredible, incredible aliyah for our entire kehila. And Yeretz Hashem, the bar mitzvah should be a source of nachos. And Yeretz Hashem for his parents, for his entire mishpacha, and the Yeretz Hashem for Klal Yisrael, the Ribbono Shel Olam, may have the Esim Shalom Tovos. Mazel Tov, and a Mazel Tov to Josh and Malki Rosenblum on being honored. All right, it's by another organization, but I'm still going to announce it anyway. I'm still going to buy Yeshiva of Greater Washington, Baruch Hashem, today. Again, a well-deserved honor of Bastion of Torah within our greater community, and Mirza and the Rosemum should be Zocha to accomplish great things, not just on behalf of our community, but on behalf of Klal Yisrael for many years to come. All right, well, so with that, let us begin. Today's daf, we are picking up five lines up from the bottom. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehud, oh, I'm sorry, a little bit further up, actually. Actually, like 11 lines up. So I'm Rabbi, I'm Rabbi Shimon Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Yehuda, 2, 4, 6, 7. This is why, pay attention in school, right? Pay attention in school to help with counting, other things like that. Because 7 lines up from the bottom. I'm Rabbi, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Ube Shammai, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Rabbi Shimon Elaz, Rabbi Shmuel. Kulu Svir Luhum, Shimon ben Koma Omid. Shavuot says, so remember again, we started with this concept yesterday about the concept of what happens if someone steals something and then Aloch Lamaisa, the object undergoes some sort of physical change. So do we say that the thief acquires the item, and therefore, again, Aloch Lamaisa, the thief will be obligated to make financial restitution for the item, but the object itself, or for that matter, again, any changes in the potential item, cause the item to become the property of the ganav. Or do we say what we call shinui bimkomo omeid? What does it mean, shinui bimkomo omeid? Even if the item undergoes a physical change, halacha lemaisa, the item still remains in the domain of the original owner. So this is the fundamental machlokas we are looking at. Remember, our Mishnah clearly indicates that once there is a shinui, once there is a change in the item, the object becomes the property of the ganav. At that point now, obviously, the ganav is chayv to make restitution. That's why the Mishnah said, how do you assess restitution? Kishas hagneva, right? Again, in accordance with the time that the object was stolen. Then there is the other opinion over here of shinui bimkomo omeid. Now, Abaye says, these aforementioned opinions, all of them hold shinui bimkomo omeid. So says the Gemara, so we'll say, let's analyze a bit. So Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, hada amar. So Rabbi Shimon Yehuda, we already said. Now, remember again, what was the case of Rabbi Shimon Yehuda? This was the situation of Reishis Hagaz, right? That halacha lemaisa, you have to give the first shearings to the Kohen. So Rabbi Shimon Yehuda brought down this case where if you take the first shearings and you go ahead and you dye them, ultimately, again, you're still obligated in Reishis Hagaz. So you see from here that even if you physically change an item, the item still remains in the possession of the original owner. In this case, the Kohen. Okay, Beis Shammai Mahi. What's the case of Beis Shammai? Let's take this. I was saying, if you think about, by the way, this machlokes, I have to develop it a little bit more. But this notion of shinui bimkomo omeid or shinui eina bimkomo omeid, that wherein lies the true power of change? Does change allow a person to even fundamentally change domains? Like, is always like something we grapple with a lot. How much, I was speaking with a psychologist this week, and he told me, he's like, you know, people can't really change. So first thing I said is, you need to find a new profession, right? That's number one. People can't really change, right? What he was saying was, there's a ceiling on the amount of change a person could do. People have certain predispositions, certain people are certain ways, and there may be a ceiling. I've been thinking about this the whole week, because I don't think I agree with that, but then again, maybe that's just because I'm a layman, I'm not a mental health professional. But Lamais, I think the whole beauty of Yiddishkeit is predicated on the idea that there is no ceiling to change. Yeah, of course, we're all born with predispositions, right? We're all born with certain, you know, whatever you call it, genetic markers or different things like this that make us a certain way. But the whole avoda of life is the ability to affect whatever level of change you're truly willing to put your heart to, you're willing to put your neshama to. I was thinking that maybe that this is this machlokes. You have shinui. So how much change can a person make? So one opinion says shinui vim komo omedes, which means that you could create change, but there is a ceiling on that change, right? In other words, you're still always going to be rooted in a certain reality versus our Mishnah, which says, no, once there's shinui, shinui changes everything. Shinui removes you ultimately again from your original domain and places you fundamentally somewhere else. A fundamental machlokes in how far, how sweeping the power of change actually is. Right? We'll develop more as we go on. So fine. So Rabbi Shimon, we spoke about Bishamai Mahi, Disanya, very interesting case. Bishamai Omrim. So Bishamai Mahi, Disanya. Nason lochitim ba'asnana, va'asan solas, zesin va'asan shemen, anovim va'asan yayin. So as we actually had this case a number of times before. Remember again, so we'll call it, Reuven goes to a harlot. He pays her for her services, and he gives her one of these items. For example, he gives her wheat. They both say, remember again, what's the halacha? The halacha is that esnan zona, something given to a zona for payment for her services, cannot be used in the Beis HaMikdash. Can't be used in the Beis HaMikdash. So Rabbi says, now what's the shayla? She takes the wheat and she turns it into flour. Or she takes the grape, she turns it into wine. She takes the olives, she turns it into oil. So now can you use this transformed item in the Beis HaMikdash or not? So that's machlokes tani chada aser. One opinion says aser. The tani yidach, another braisa says mutter. So what's the machlokes? Vam Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef said, Tani Gurion, top of Tzadik Dalmo, so it's 94a. Tani Gurion, Deme Aspurak, Beshamay Osir, Beshela Matirin. So again, this individual, Gurion, he said, these two brises, they're not contradictory, it's a machlokes. Machlokes, Beshamay and Beshela. Machlokes, Beshamay, Beshela. So Beshamay says it's Osir, and Beshela says it's Mutter. So right, so just understand this. Beshamay says, person, man, called Reuven, right? Reuven goes to the harlot. Let's just play this out. Gives her the wheat. Harlot then takes the wheat and transforms it into flour and now wants to give it to the Beis HaMikdash. I will say, don't say to yourself, come on, she's a harlot and now she wants to give to the Beis HaMikdash. I will say, we all do this. I mean, not this, but I'm saying, but we all do this dynamic, right? We all live with inconsistencies. I do plenty of averus, but yet at the same time, I want to do something good. So the harlot, okay, she's a harlot. This is her struggle in life. But Lamaisa, she wants to give something to the Beis HaMikdash. Now the Shaila is, obviously everyone agrees she can't take the wheat and give that to the Beis HaMikdash, but can she take the flour that is the transformed wheat and use that in the Beis HaMikdash? So Beis Shammai says no, Beis Hillel says yes. I says, the Rabbi says second line down from the top, 94a, my time in the Beis Shammai, what's Beis Shammai's logic? Why he says you can't use it? Amar Kra, gam shnehem, l'rabos shinuyehem. So the pasuk says, "Lo savi esnan zona umichir kelav beis Hashem elokecha l'chol neder ki soavas Hashem elokecha gam shnehem." So we'll say this is interesting. The pasuk is talking about two things. Number one, esnan zona, which is something a zona receives for her payment for her services, and mechir kelav. Mechir kelav means something either sold for or exchanged for a dog. In other words, it's considered to be a lack of kavod to bring something to the Beis HaMikdash that was bartered for a dog. Barter for a dog. Now the end of the pasuk says you can't, right? These things are abominations. Gam shnehem, both of them. So pashup shan the pasuk is gam shnehem is referring to what? Esnan zona mechir kelev. Apparently, Beis Hillel holds gam shnehem is l'rabos shinuyehem. He makes a little bit of a drush on the words. Gam shnehem means, again, gam shinuyehem. Even if you take the esnan zona, or the mechir kela for that matter, and you transform them into a different state, that newly transformed item is also aser for use in the Beis HaMikdash. Incredible. So we'll say Beis Hillel. So we'll say that. So that's Beis Shammai's position, and that's why Beis Shammai holds that halacha l'maaseh. Even if you transform the item, it still remains aser. Just understand. Why are we bringing this down? Because this notion of Beis Shammai saying, even if you transform it, it still remains in its original state, is another way of saying, Shinui bimkomo omeid. It's the same concept. That ultimately, again, even though something has changed, it still remains in its original, quote-unquote, rishos, and it still retains its original identity. It happens to be Beis Shammai is darshining a pasuk, but conceptually, it belongs in this Shinui Bimkomo Omeid camp. That's where I'm bringing this down. All right, so we're going to get a little bit more into the Shasha. Beis Hillel says, Beis Hillel Omer Kra, Haim Velo Shinu Yehem. Beis Hillel says, no, the Pasuk itself says, Haim, these items, to mean these items only in their original form, but once they're transformed, you use them in the Beis HaMikdash. I says the Gemara Beis Shammai, Haksiv Haim, what does Beis Shammai do with the Haim? Hahu Mibayle Haim Velo Vlado Sehem. Interesting. Beis Shammai uses Haim to teach you it's only these items that are Asar, but ultimately, again, their offspring are Asar. For example, Reuven, who goes to the Zona, if he gives her a sheep, right? So the sheep obviously is precluded from use in the Beis HaMikdash, but if the sheep gives birth, then ultimately, again, the offspring would be permitted. Beis Hillel will say, Tarti Mashma, Tarti Shamas Minasari, Haim, according to Beis Hillel, ultimately teaches me both of these things. Number one, again, Haim Velo Shinu Yehem, right? And number two, offspring. Okay, so the Gemara says, Tarti Shamas Minei Haim Velo Shinu Yehem, Haim Velo Vlado Sehem. So according to Beis Hillel, that word Haim teaches us both of these halachas, namely number one, only the original item and not any changed form, and only the original item and not any offspring. So we'll say, what does Beis Hillel do with Gam? What do they do with Gam? So Gemara says, you're right, Gam the Beis Hillel Kasha. So Gam is a Kasha. So again, that leaves unresolved. So remember again, let's keep our eye on the ball over here. What are we trying to do? Abaye told us that there's a whole list of people who hold Shinui Bimkomo Omeid. That even when an item undergoes a change, it still remains in the possession of the original owner. So all we're doing now is building out our list. So number one on the list was Rav Shimon Yehuda. That was the case of Reishis Agaz, yesterday's daf, taking the wool, dyeing it still belongs to the Kohen. That was case one. Case two, Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai holds that halacha l'maaseh, even if the zona takes the wheat that she received, makes it into flour, that flour is still aser. Why? Shinui bimkomo omid. Okay, position. Our opinion number three, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Mahi. What's the position of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov that holds Shinui bimkomo omid? Here we go. Disanya. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer. It's very interesting. Harish shegazel sa'ah shel chitin. If a person steals, right, call him Reuven. Reuven stole a sa'ah of wheat. Tachna lasha va'afa v'hivishim enechala keitzad mevareich. Wow. They'll say, watch this. So Reuven steals a sa'ah of wheat. And what does he do? He grinds it. He kneads it. He bakes it. And now he wants to eat mafrish challah. Again, I will say, this is our lives. This is everyday life, right? Inconsistencies, right? So the thief wants to eat mafrish challah. So Kate said mevarech. So how does he make? So what bracha do you make? So Gemara says, Kate mevarech. Ain't se mevarech ela menaitz. No. There's no bracha over here. Because such a bracha would not be a praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi said, what would it be? It would be blasphemous. Al v'al zeh ne'emar. And exactly about this kind of bracha, what does the Pasuk in Tehillim say? Botzea beirach ni'etz Hashem. Literally again, I will say that the person who makes the bracha is degrading HaKadosh Baruch Hu, blaspheming HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So sometimes a bracha is blasphemy. What is a bracha blasphemy? When a thief stolen item, and I wants to make a bracha on it. Then we'll say, now what do you see from that? What do you see from that case? Now remember, what did Reuven steal? Reuven stole wheat. And now even though the wheat underwent this entire multi-level process of change, what do we say? is still considered to be a stolen object. To the point that now when he wants to eat mafresh challah from the loaf of bread, we tell him you can't do that. That's botzea berach ni'etz Hashem. You can't do that. What do you see from here? What do you see from here? That even the changed wheat still remains the property of the owner. That's shinui bimkomo omeid. Shinui bimkomo omeid. Okay, excellent. Let's continue on the list. Rabbi Shimon Elazar Mahi. What's the case of Rabbi Shimon Elazar? The sanyo klal ze amar Rabbi Shimon Elazar. Rabbi Shimon Elazar said, kol shavach sheshbiach gazlon yado al hal yona. So we'll say, so now watch this. So Bryce says as follows. Here is the klal. Here is the rule. The rule is that any shevach sheshbiach gazlon, right? So the thief steals an item, and now the item appreciates, right? And by the way, not just stam appreciates. Let's say the ganav did something. You can imagine. You can give a simple case. You saw this yesterday's daf. The ganav steals an animal. What does he do? He fattens up the animal. Fattens up the animal. So now the animal is objectively worth more. So now the Braisa says that appreciation, it belongs to the ganav. Belongs to the ganav. Yado al hal yono. So the Gemara says, so well, literally translated, any appreciation that the stolen object has had while in the possession of the ganav, he has the upper hand. Ratsa notel shvacho. If he wants, he can keep the appreciation. Ratsa omer lo harishal chalafanecha. And if he wants, he can say to the owner of the object, here you go, I'm giving you back your animal as is. Animal as is. So the Gemara says, my comments, first of all, say the statement doesn't make any sense, right? The price doesn't make any sense, right? It said, any appreciation that the animal undergoes, so Yadal Yonah, the Ganav has the upper hand. And therefore what? He could keep the appreciation or he could give it back. So what does that mean? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Sheish, that's how it means to say. Here we go. Hishbicha no tel shvacho. If the animal appreciates, the Ganav takes the appreciation. So we'll say, what's the chap? Watch this, it's fascinating. Right? Reuven steals the sheep. So now, if the animal appreciates, so what happens? That appreciation ultimately, again, belongs to the ganav. He gets to keep that. If the animal depreciates, what could he do? He could take the animal, give it back to the owner, and say what? Harishal chalafanecha. I stole a sheep. I'm giving you back your sheep. We're done. Why? I will say, why is that? Because at the end of the day, shinui bimkomo omeid. Because that sheep never left the domain of its owner. And therefore, again, halacha lemaisa, the sheep that Reuven stole is the sheep that Reuven is giving back. Here's the problem, I will say, with that statement. What's the problem? Ihachi afilu hishbiach nami. One second. You can't have it both ways. If you hold shinui bimkomo omeid, right, that even when the animal undergoes a change, it never leaves the domain of the owner. Then what, Rabbi say? Then what? If the animal appreciates, who should own that appreciation? Who should own it? The owner. In other words, if you hold Shinui bimkomo omeid, what that means is, Reuven stole the sheep from Shimon, now the sheep is still extant. So whether the sheep appreciated or depreciated, everything belongs to Shimon. So Reuven has the right to show back up at Shimon's house, give him back the sheep. But if you hold shinui bimkomo omeid and the animal appreciates, why does Reuven the thief get to keep the appreciation? Well, that is incredible. The Gemara says, Amri, mipnei takanas hashavim. We're going to talk more about this. We'll say why this was an enactment for the benefit of Bali Tshuva. I was about to say, in order to encourage people to do Tshuva, what did Chazal institute? Chazal said to the thief, you could keep the appreciation. So you're about to say, what were Chazal concerned about? Like this. Reuven stole the sheep. And let's say he fed the sheep. He fattened up the sheep. So let's say now the sheep appreciated. But that appreciated because either, let's say, Reuven put in time, Reuven put in effort. If Reuven has to go ahead, it's hard. We'll say doing tshuva is hard. The problem is, if doing tshuva is going to cost me money, chances are that what? The thief is not going to do it. So therefore, if we allow the thief to keep the appreciation, we're much more confident that he's going to do tshuva. Much more confident that he's going to do tshuva. So therefore, because of Takana Sashavim, for a Takana ultimately again to facilitate Shuvah, we allow Reuven the thief to keep the appreciation. Pretty incredible. So we'll say, so that's Shimon Elazar. So really, Shimon Elazar holds, Shinei Bimkomo Omeid, the animal never leaves the domain of the owner, and therefore technically speaking, the owner bears the depreciation or the appreciation. But in order to facilitate Shuvah, we allow the Ganav to keep the appreciation. Incredible. Let's go back there. Rabbi Shmuel, you will say, what's the case of Rabbi Shmuel? It's Rabbi Shmuel, Mahi. The Sanyo, Mitzvahs Peah. the mitzvah of peah, lahafrish min hakama. It's supposed to be a very interesting case over here. We know it's halacha peah. You have to leave a corner of your field for the poor. Fine. Lo hifrish min hakama, mafrish min haomrim. Supposed to say, let's say you harvested your wheat. So you didn't leave a corner. What do you do if you don't leave a corner? Fine, you leave it from the bundles. You leave the equivalent from the bundles. Lo hifrish min haomrim. Let's say you didn't leave it from the bundles, mafrish min hakri. So fine, you go ahead and you leave it from the pile. Ad shelo merchu. So leave it from the pile before the pile was smooth. Merchu. What happens if the pile was already smooth? Here's the problem. Not problem, but just technical issue. Once the pile was smoothed, now there's an obligation of meiser. So now we'll say, what do you do? Ma'aser v'nosein lo. Right? So ultimately, again, you take meiser, but you still give pay afterwards as well. Rabbi Shmuel said, af mafish mina isa. Wow. Let's say Rishmael goes so far to say you could even separate out peah from the loaf. Now, we'll say, now remember again, peah is one of those things, first mentioned in peah, that doesn't have a shear. Right? It doesn't have a shear. So the ma'isa again, you can go in and separate any amount, but the idea of Rishmael is saying is that what? You even have to separate out peah from the loaf. Now, we'll say, now what does that show you? What does that show you? That shows you shinui b'mkomo omid, meaning what? The aniyim are entitled to peah, and no matter how much you change the form of those stalks of weed, you're still gonna have to pay your peah. Incredible. So we'll say. Now we finish the list. So Abai brought down all of these opinions to show us this is the group, this is the chevra who holds shinui bimkomo omed. We'll say, by the way, I apologize. I know it's chilly in here. The heat's not working. Sorry. We're building a new building. So again. I believe the HVAC system dedication is still open, right? So everyone, like, so I apologize. Hopefully tomorrow. So it's working like at like 20%. So I'm sorry about that. So now listen to this. Okay, shkayach. You gave me a whole list of people who hold shinui bimkomo omed. So, like, why? I will say in general, like, first of all, it's much simpler. Just say that Beis Shammai holds that Shinui Bimkomo Omeid. That's enough. Just in other words, we don't need to go through every single individual who holds that Shinui Bimkomo Omeid. Once you say Beis Shammai holds Shinui Bimkomo Omeid, okay, whoever gets by and then gets by, and whoever doesn't. Amale Haki Kamer. This is what it means to say. Lo Nechleku Beis Shammai Ubeis Silo B'Davrazeh. Now we'll say, actually, what Abai was coming to add that Halacha L'Maisa, even Beis Hillel agrees with Beis Shammai, right? In fact, there's no machlokas. We thought there was machlokas earlier on, but in fact, there is no machlokas. And halacha l'maisa, even Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel don't disagree. Amar Rava, so I will say Rava said like this. I will say, so that was really the chiddush that Abai was trying to convey over here, that even Beis Hillel agrees with Beis Shammai, the shem come over. I will say, now watch this. Rava says, no, it's not really true. In fact, there is actually going to be a novelty in mentioning all of these people. Why? Because we're going to see, fascinatingly enough, there's a unique chiddush in each of these people. Watch this. Amar Rav Mimai. Tilma Ad Kanoka Amar Rabbi Shem Ben Yehuda Hasam Ela Betseva Hov Yachala Viro Ayidei Tzafon. So listen, I watch this. Maybe I would have felt like this. I would have felt that maybe Rabbi Shem Ben Yehuda, maybe he doesn't hold Shinui Bimkomo Omeid. The only reason he holds, I will say, that even if you dye the wool of the Reishis Hagaz, you still have to give the first shares to the Kohen is why? Why? Because dyeing is a reversible process. Dyeing is a reversible process. Right? You could remove the dye with detergent. So maybe that's why ultimately, again, even if you go ahead and you dye the wool, you still have to give it to the Kohen. But maybe normally he doesn't hold Shinui Bimkomo Omeid. Furthermore, Va'atkan, Lokarim B'Shamai Hasam Ela Ligavoa, Mishum Dimis. Furthermore, maybe Beis Shammai holds that by the Esnan Zona, even if the item changes form, the reason why you can't give it to the Beis Hamikdash Rabosei is not because of Shinui Bimkomo Omeid. Rather, why? Remember, Rabosei, the more holy something is, the greater its sensitivity to unholiness. So you're going to start going ahead and giving something used in the prayment of a Zona, even if it changed form. So maybe Dafka, in that case, that's where they say that even if it changed form, even multiple times, you still can't use it in the mikdash. Right? Maybe normally it doesn't hold Shinui Bimkomo Omeid. Furthermore, Vad kan lo kam Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov hasam ela inyan bracha mishum dahavilei mitzvah haba ba'aveira. Furthermore, again, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, remember again, what was Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's case? That was the case of stolen wheat. that's made into a loaf of bread. And he asked, what bracha do you make when you're mafresh challah? And he said, you can't make a bracha botzeh berach ni'eitz Hashem. Maybe that's not a din. Maybe that's not a din in shinoi b'mkomo omer. Rather, what is it a din in? Bracha mitzvah ba'aveira. Okay. Vad kan, lo kam Rabbi Shimon Elazar hasam ela b'hachosha d'hadar. Furthermore, again, in Rabbi Shimon Elazar's case, which remember again was the situation of where the animal appreciates, right? Ultimately in the domain of the gazlon. So maybe that's a different kind of case. Why? Because halacha l'maisa, I should say, it depreciates. Depreciation is reversible. In other words, the animal lost some weight. Animal lost some weight ultimately again when it's with the gazlon. So again, you can put back the weight on. Maybe that's where they hold. That's where they hold. You can return the animal as is. Ve'ad kan lo kama Rabbi Yishma hasam al inyan peya mishum dechsev tazov yisera. Furthermore, maybe Rabbi Yishmael doesn't really hold Shinim in Koma Omeid, but rather again by Peah, he holds that even if you fail to separate it in the field, you have to separate it even from the loaf. Why? Because I will say the Torah uses an extra word, Tazov, a second time to teach you. You have to give Peah no matter what. So I will say, the point that Rav is trying to make over here is that Halacha L'maisa, Abai is trying to line up these opinions all as falling behind the Shammai and Beis Hillel about, or at least Beis Shammai, about Shinoi b'mkomo omeid. All the Gemara is suggesting is maybe not. Maybe these are unique cases, but don't necessarily paint the picture of Shinoi b'mkomo omeid. Okay, interesting. The Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, V'chi teima ligmar mine. Maybe you'll say, learn it out from this case of Peah. To which the Gemara says, Matnos aniyim shayni. Let's say, you can't really learn araya from matnos aniyim. That it could very well be that in general, the Torah Kedosha goes out of its way to make sure that the aniyim get their due, get what they are entitled to. And you can't necessarily extrapolate from that to Gan's Torah. Kedibai Rabbi Yonason, Dibai Rabbi Yonason, Rabbi Yonason says, my time is Rabbi Yishmael. Why does Rabbi Yishmael hold Rabbi say that if you fail to separate out peah from standing grain, from bundles, from piled grain, that you even have to separate out from the loaf of bread? What's his logic? Mishum de kasavar, shinui enakona. Oh, so is it that he holds, shinui, as we were calling it, Shinoi bimkomo omeid, or shinoi enakona, that even when an object changes form, it still remains in the possession of the original owner. O dilma ba'ama kasavar shinoi kona, or maybe not. Maybe Rishon really holds, no. When an object undergoes a change, it really does leave the domain of the original owner. So what's happening over here? V'hacha mishum dechsev tazov yisera. Here it's different. Why? Because there's an extra tazov. There's an extra tazov. So we'll say, what is it? Remember, what does tazov mean? Tazov means you have to leave it behind. Maybe that extra tazov means you have to give peah. No matter what the object is, in a wheat form, in a piled form, in a loaf form, whatever it is, you need to give peah. So we'll say, so that's the shayla. Why does Rabbi Shmuel hold, which essentially is what Rav was trying to bring out over here. Why does Rabbi Shmuel hold that way? Is it because he holds shinui bimkoma omeid or shinui enokona? Or is that he goes, no, this is a unique din by peah, because it says tazov twice. And if you hold, and if Rabbi Shmuel holds, that the reason why you have to give peah even from the loaf of bread is because shinui enakona, then tazov yisera dekasav rachman alamali. Then enachinami, why do I need that second tazov? Furthermore, vesul rabbanon, tazov yisera dekasav rachman alamali. And according to the Rabban Rabosai, According to the Rabbanon who hold that once it gets to loaf form, you are no longer obligated in peah. So ultimately, again, what do they use that extra tazo for? They need it for the following case. Well, it's an interesting case. Hamafkir karmo. So this is actually interesting. This is, I guess, what we would call like a Talmudic or a biblical like tax loophole. Meaning, I would say, I don't want to be on the hook for trumas and maestros. So the easy fix. What's the easy fix? Easy fix. Be mafkir your property. If you don't own it, you're not chayiv. There's only one downside of being mafkir your property, which is anyone could take it. So what do you do? Listen to this interesting case. A mafkir karmo. So Reuven goes ahead and makes his vineyard hefker. The hishkim baboker ubatzra. Now he has a good chap, right? So he makes it hefker at night. And very early the next morning, he's out there in the vineyard, you know, taking everything that he wants. So what's the halacha? Chayiv beperet uba'ololos, uba'shichacha, uba'peya. So I'll say, doesn't work. I mean, it does work a little bit. Upater minamaiser. So I'll say, what it does do is, that legal loophole, see, technically it speaks, technically it works, excuse me. So now remember again, when Reuven's out there the next morning, he is collecting fruit from an ownerless field. So therefore, again, what's his liability? Should technically be nothing. Chazal said no. Anything that is due to the poor, you're going to be chayiv. So we'll say, so right, remember again, peret ololos, that's if you leave behind the grape, or if you leave behind the cluster, that belongs to the poor. Shichacha and peyah, that belongs to the poor as well. What do you get out of? What do you get out of? Trumas and maestros. Excuse me, I should say meiser. Meiser you get out of. So it works like that. So if Rabbi said the second, according to the Rabbanon, Tazov teaches you this halacha. Okay, I'm Rabbi Yehuda Meshmuel. Halacha Rabbi Shimon Elazar. Rabbi Yehuda is saying Meshmuel that the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon Elazar. Rabbi says, okay. So now let's look at what we have over here, right? What do we have? What we have is a fundamental machlokes, right? Reuven steals an object from Shimon. The object undergoes a fundamental change. Whatever the change is. Now again, Rabbi says we will see in the world of change, there is a chilik, there may be a chilik between reversible change and irreversible change. We'll circle back for that. But right now, let's just go with this idea. Reuven steals an object from Shimon, and I will say the item undergoes a change. What's the machlokes? The machlokes says, do we say shinui kona or shinui eina kona? Does a change now put that item in the domain or under the ownership of the thief or not? That's our machlokes. Our Mishnah clearly said yes. But now Abaye brought all of these opinions that clearly say, Shinui bimkomo omet. Okay, so now I said, this is our fundamental yisodistic machlokes. And now watch this. Here is where it's going to get great. I'm going to give you the Mishnah. Halacha, Kirb Shimon Elazar. The halacha is like Rav Shimon Elazar. And I said, now what did Rav Shimon Elazar hold? Rav Shimon Elazar, again, was the case who said before that halacha lemaisa, essentially, Rav Shimon Elazar holds that shinui bimkomo omet, right? He holds that old, or shinui enakona, that even if the object undergoes a change, halacha lemaisa, the object never left the domain of the original owner. So remember again, how do we illustrate that? Reuven stole a sheep from Shimon. The sheep loses 25 pounds. Right, 25 pounds. So what happens? What could Reuven do? Reuven gives the sheep back to Shimon. Aye, that's not the sheep that you stole. Yes, it is, because the sheep never left the domain. Now, we'll say, now remember again, what about the reverse case? What about when the sheep appreciates? So what was the halacha there? Remember again, what did Shimon Elazar say? The thief keeps the appreciation, right? But remember again, why does the thief keep the appreciation? Why? That was takanas hashavim. That was to facilitate and encourage tshuva. So a separate consideration. So now comes along Rav Yehuda, says that the name of Shmuel, the halacha follows Shimon Elazar. So Gemara says, really? Did Shmuel really say that the halacha follows of Shimon Elazar? Is that true? So v'ha'amar Shmuel, ain shaman, lo lagana v'lo lagazlon, elo l'nizakin. Ultimately, we'll say we do not evaluate things. Not for a ganov and not for a gazlan, only for damages. Now, what does that mean? We'll say, if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi is almost right across. In Shaman, Beperek Rishon, Gave Bailim Metaplin Benevela, Amar Shmuel, Delenizakin Hud de Shaman as Hanavela, Lenizak, Umosef Allah Mazik, Achimashlim Lo Nisko. We'll say, remember again, we saw this, it feels like many, many years ago. We saw the Sugya, right? We'll say, remember again, we saw this, that Reuven's ox gores Shimon's ox. So what's talocha? We take the dead animal of Shimon, right? The dead ox, the nevela. We assess how much it's worth. Right? We saw machlokes who has to dispose of the nevela, but that nevela is worth a certain amount of money. So it's on then the damaged party to recapture the value of the nevela, and then the damager has to make up the rest. That's how damages work. Make up the rest. So Shmuel said that Allah said the only time we evaluate a carcass is either ultimately again for nezikin, for damages, but not for theft. What does that mean for theft? Or I'll say, what does that mean? That halacha lemaisa, the way theft works is Reuven steals an animal from Shimon. We see what the stolen animal was worth at the time of the theft, and that's what Reuven owes Shimon. That's Reuven's own Shimon, which I'll say is another way of saying shinui kona. That Shmuel seems to say that when a thief steals an item, ultimately, again, he acquires that item. So if he acquires the item, then at the end of the day, How could Shmuel say that the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar? What's going on over here? To which the Gemara says, Bishlam of the Rava, the Amar Ki Kamar Shimon Elazar Hasan Bachisha the Hadar, Lokasha. Shmuel said, now watch this. So according to Rava, this works fine. Why? Because Rava said that Rabbi Shimon Elazar's case was talking about ultimately a depreciation that's reversible, or a change that's reversible. Therefore, again, kika amar halach Rabbi Shimon Elazar, the shunim b'mkama omein ba'achasha dahadar. Therefore, I will say, you can see, when did Shmuel say that the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon Elazar? Only, right, namely, that shinoi b'mkama omein, that ultimately, again, the animal never leaves the domain of its owner. That's in the case of a reversible change. The kika amar Shmuel hasam in shamano l'ganav l'gazlon elin izakin. And ultimately, again, when does Shmuel say, Shinui Kona? That's in the case of an irreversible change. But according to Abaye, who said, that Rabbi Shimon Elazar even stated his view that Shinui Bim Koma Omeid, even with what? Even with an irreversible change. Ultimately, again, my ikal meimar. So, what is there to say? So, the Gemara says, "I'm sorry, did I just skip a line?" Yeah, Ella by the Amar Kikam Shir Elazar Bachasha the Lohadar Kamar my ikal meimar. So, the Gemara says, "Abaye Masni Hachi." So, Abaye ultimately again would explain it like this: Amar Rav Yehuda Meshmuel. So, Rav Yehuda said, "Name Meshmuel." We'll say, "Amar Beis." Amru Halacha Rav Shimon Elazar Velei Lo Svira Lei. Ah, so we'll say. So, that's how you have to say it. So, according to Abaye, he says like this. Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel that the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon Elazar, but Shmuel himself does not agree with that. Right? Shmuel was saying it seems to be that the general approach is like Rabbi Shimon Elazar, but Shmuel himself does not hold that way. Incredible. Amr b'chibra abba, Amr Rav Yonasan, Amr Rav Yochanan, sorry, Dvar Torah, Gzeila Hanishtanis Chozeres Beinei. We'll say, now watch this. So we'll say, so we're still, it's really, really very interesting, right? So our fundamental machlokis is, you have a stolen object, Reuven steals an object from Shimon, the object undergoes a change. Again, I will say, now remember, what we have to keep in the back of our mind is, in the world of change, there's two levels of change. There's reversible change and irreversible change. So that's still playing out over here. So we'll say, but now our fundamental shaila is, Reuven steals an object from Shimon, ultimately, again, the object changes. What's the halacha? Do we say shinui kona, in which case the ganav has effectively acquired the object, now he's obligated to pay money, right? Value of the stolen item at the time it was stolen, or no? Shinui eno kona, the object is never acquired by the ganav, and therefore again, if the object is extant, the ganav is obligated to give it back as is. See, here we go. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Dvar Torah, listen to this. Here we go. Incredibly exciting. Dvar Torah, Midoraisa, Gzela Hanishtanis, Chozeres Be'enei. Wow. So we'll say, so now Rabbi Chiya bar Abba wants to say like this. Midoraisa, a stolen object, even if it changes, never leaves the domain of its owner and is returned as is. Right? That's Midoraisa. Look at Rashi. Hanishtanis. Rashi says, third line from the top, Afapi shenishtana chozeres be'inei kimos shehi achshav v'afilu hishbicha dishinui lo kani. So I will say, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba is saying, guys, let's just understand, we're only arguing in the Rabbanans. Because midah araisa, the halacha is, a stolen object never leaves the domain of its owner, and therefore, even if it increases, decreases, whatever it is, halacha lemaisa, and the job of the ganav is, if the object is in existence, give it back. That's it. Shneimar veheishiv es hagzela asher gazal mikol makom. Because also, what does the pasuk say? What's the job of the ganav? Return the stolen object. Veheishiv es hagzela asher gazal. What's the mikol makom means? That's it. In any case, right? Torah doesn't qualify that statement. The halacha is, you stole something, the object is still in existence, give it back. Done. Nothing more to talk about. So the Gemara says, the Imtar Mishnah say no. What about our Mishnah? Then we'll say, now remember again, he's talking about our Mishnah. Our Mishnah. What's our Mishnah, we'll say? What was our Mishnah? Hagozel Eitzim Vasan Kalim. You stole wood. You made it into utensils. You stole wool. You made it into clothing. What's the halacha? Mishalim kishas hagzela. We'll say, what does the Mishnah say? What's the halacha? What does the thief get to do? What does the thief get to do? He gets to keep the object. And what does he have to do? He has to pay money. But I don't understand. I understand. Rabbi Abba, you just said, Midaraisa, the Heshev HaSagzela says, return the object you stole. Okay, I stole wood, and now it's a bowl. Who cares? You stole wood, give it back. I stole a wool, now it's a sweater. Give it back. So I'm going to say, so what? So I don't understand. How do you reconcile? How do you reconcile the Daraisa Halacha of giving back the object that you stole with the Mishnah that says you could keep the changed object? We'll say, here we go. Get ready for this. Entire Mishnah Seinu, Mishum Takhanas HaShavim. We'll say, the Mishnah is reflecting a consideration to enable tshuva. We'll say, you have to understand, Halacha has a vested interest in Balei Tshuva. In Balei Tshuva. Halacha has a vested interest in getting people and facilitating tshuva and making it as easy as possible. So what does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says like this, Reuven stole an object from Shimon. Right, he took the wood, he made it into a bowl. We'll say, you know how people connect with their bowls, right? So, right, or Lamai say he stole wool and he made it into one of those fancy, like Happy Hanukkah sweaters. You know, once you wear that, right, you don't want to give that back. So now here's the problem, right? If the ganav has to return the object, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? He's not going to do tshuva. He's not going to do tshuva. So the Mishnah says, fine, you know what? Keep the object. Keep the object. And I'll pay money. But I'll say, by the way, I think there's another piece to this also. And I will say, returning a stolen object to someone is incredibly humiliating. Right? Incredibly humiliating. And especially if you can imagine, if you took the object and you turned it into someone else, can you imagine? Right? Reuven stole the wool from Shimon and he shows up with a happy Hanukkah sweater. Right? Can you just, like, the embarrassment of it. Right? What's the nice part of returning money? What's the nice part of returning money? We'll say, what's the nice part? You write a check, you put it in an envelope, you drop it in the mailbox, and you could go home. You can go home. So we'll say, it's not just about, I don't think it's just about the fact that the ganav may have an attachment to the object, and therefore if you make him give back the object, he's not going to do tshuva. It's also that if tshuva becomes too embarrassing, right? People are just, it's not just a financial thing. It's just if it's awkward, tshuva is awkward as it is. But what's the best part? Is you get to be awkward with a force and an entity you can't see. Right? I could deal with the awkwardness because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not standing right in front of me. Let's say that's why a lot of times, you know, the areas in life where often we have the greatest amount of unresolved issues, it's interpersonally. Why? We know why. Because it's very difficult to go up to someone and to say, you know what? I hurt you. And I'm really sorry. Or I did this to you and I'm really... It's awkward. So very often what we just do is we kind of... That's why dealing with things bin Adam Lamakom is infinitely easier than dealing with things bin Adam Lachadero. We know. I don't need to go... So it's like... So there's an awkwardness associated with this. So what are Chazal doing? Both from a financial perspective as well as from an awkwardness perspective, Chazal said, okay, you know what? Just give him a check. Just give him a check. Whatever the item was worth at the time that you stole it, give him a check and be done. And let's move on. That's Takhanas Hashem. So Rabbi say, this is a fascinatingly riveting model. So Rabbi Chibar Abba is saying, Mida Oraisa, Ein Shinui Kona, or Shinui Ein Kona. Right? Or Shinui Bimkomo Omeid, whatever verbiage you want to use. Mida Oraisa, you stole an object, give back an object. Aye, but the Mishnah says, if you made an object into something else, you could keep the object and give him the money. That's Takhanas HaShavim. That's Takhanas HaShavim. That's to facilitate tshuva. Incredible. So Gemara says, Memar Rabbi Yochanan, did Rabbi Yochanan say this? From Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha Kistan Mishnah. But Rabbi Yochanan himself said that the Halacha follows the Stan Mishnah. Right, Rabbi Yochanan said the Halacha follows the Stan Mishnah. So we'll say, what's going on over here? So Gemara says, Utanan. Yet we learned again right beforehand. What do we say? That Allah gracious takas for shearings. If ultimately again you took your first shearing, which you should have given to the kohen, but what happened? You forgot or you didn't get a chance to give it until you dyed it. What's the halacha? Potter. But again, he'll say. But according to Rabbi Yochanan holds that midaraisa shinui bimkomo omeid. Even if you dyed the wool, you should have to give it to the kohen. Amar lahu hahu midrabanan. No. That's also reflecting midrabanan. There was a particular member of the rabbis, Rabbi Yaakov Shmei, and Rabbi Yaakov was his name. And how do you explain it? Ledidi mefarshi leminei Rabbi Yochanan. What was Rabbi Yochanan's case? Kigon shegazel eitzim meshupin vaasan kelim. What's that? The case was where you stole wood that was meshupin. Meshupin means it was planed, right? It was already smoothed out, and you made it into utensils. Da havile shinoi hachozer lebriyasa. So we'll say that's the case ultimately of what? Of a reversible change. Of a reversible change. Now take a look at Rashi. Rashi says over here. Rashi says over masnisin muki la Rabbi Yochanan begozla itz mishupin mishum hachikar Rabbi Yochanan the time of mishum takaras hashavimu to shinoi ki hai lav shinoihu. So we'll say could very well be that interesting of the way Rabbi Yochanan interprets our Mishnah is the case of gozla itz and vasam kli was talking about a reversible change. So because it's a reversible change, ultimately, again, the Mishnah itself doesn't reflect, the Mishnah reflects the Daraisa, right? The Mishnah reflects the Daraisa. Ultimately, again, it's a case of, there's no Shinoi, I should say differently. There's no real change in the object itself. Okay, Shabbos say, so bottom line, we're still at the same point with this Machlokes, right? So now, here's what we have. We have a general machlokes, shinui bimkoma omeid, or shinui ein bimkoma omeid, right? Or shinui kona, shinui ein kona. Thief steals an object, object undergoes a change. Does the thief acquire it or not? That's our machlokes. The machlokes became a bit more complicated because Rabbi Yochanan came along and said, midda oraisa, ultimately, again, shinui ein kona. That's what he said, right? Midaraisa, veheshev es hagzeila, you stole an object, return it. Aye, what about the Mishnah? So now we have two possible interpretations, ultimately, again, of the Mishnah. So we'll say, so that's kind of what's hanging out there right now. We haven't done a resolution. We'll say, here we go. Get ready for this. Tan Rabbanan. Hagazlonin, umulavir, we're supposed to say, this, Jeremy, if you have like 2 minutes, I'm telling you, you don't want to miss this one. I'm just saying. I don't mean to go. Go. I'm just kidding. So, have a great day. Just listen to it later. So this is absolutely incredible. This is overwhelmingly amazing. Here we go. Tanra Banan. Hagazlonin umalave beribis shech zero. Here we go. Watch this. So gazlonin are thieves. And ultimately, again, malave berib is people who lend with interest. People lend with interest who now both say are returning their objects. So both say, get ready for this. So now we're talking about Reuven stole from Shimon, or Reuven lent with interest to Shimon, right? One of those two things. Ein mekablim mehen. So both say, so now Reuven wants to be a bal tshuva. He returns the stolen object, or he returns the object, he returns the interest. What's the halacha? You don't accept the money. Or you don't accept the stolen. So we'll say, hear what's happening over here? Right, so let's just get this straight. Reuven steals Shimon's sheep. He now wants to be a bal tshuva. He shows back up to Shimon's house with the stolen object. Shimon is supposed to say what? Thank you, but it's okay, you can keep it. Right? The Gemara says, and if you accept the stolen object or the interest money back, Chazal are not happy with you. It's wild. People say, why? What's going on over here? So, this Mishnah was taught during the days of Rabbi. What happened? There was a story with a guy who wanted to do tshuva. And what happened? Amrale Ishto Reka, his wife told him, you are a fool. Imata Osit Shuva, because if you do tshuva, afilu avnet eno shelcha. Ultimately, again, your belt isn't even yours. In other words, what was she saying to him? This guy was not only he wasn't like a recreational thief, right? He was a mumcha, right? This is what he did. To the point that everything he had in his life was stolen. So his wife said to him, you're a fool. You want to be a bal tshuva? Oh, you woke up on the inspired side of the bed this morning? That's fantastic. But just understand, if you're going to be a bal tshuva and start giving back all the stuff you stole, you own nothing. You won't even have a belt. What happened? The nimna v'lo asat tshuva. He didn't do tshuva. His wife was right. He didn't do tshuva because he couldn't. Rabbi say essentially, as we said before, he was ready to do tshuva, but I'm going to have nothing. I'm going to have nothing. What am I going to do? Ba'osa sha'amru. In that moment, Chazal said, "Hagazlanin umalave ribios." Ultimately, again, those who go ahead and steal or lend with interest, Sheikh Ziran, ein mekablin mehen. If they try to pay you back, you can't accept it. Va'makabel mehen. And ultimately, again, one who does accept it from them, ein ruach chachamim nochehemeno. So I will say, is this not an absolutely incredible Gemara? Right? So Chazal said in that moment, again, I will say, this is Takana's shoving. Right? This ultimately, again, is the Takana in order to facilitate Shuvah. So Chazal said in that moment, when somebody steals something and they want to return it to you, ultimately, again, don't accept it. Somebody lent you money with interest, they want to be about Shuvah, they want to go ahead and give you back the money, don't accept it. Why? Because this facilitates Shuvah. So I will say, now, When a person steals, and a person lends with interest, and now they want to do tshuva, what do they know? They know that when they return it, what are you going to say to them? It's okay. And we'll say, what does that enable the person to do? It enables them to do tshuva. We'll say, I just want to point out something absolutely amazing. We'll say, so first of all, you see from here, now you'll say to yourself, okay, that's beautiful, except if what? Except if you're the victim, right? In other words, so this is really inspiring. This is beautiful, right? Reuven stole from Shimon. Reuven comes back. Reuven, I want to be a Baal Tshuva. And again, the halacha says, just let him keep the object. Okay, so that's nice. But now Shimon's out a sheep, right? Or Shimon's out the interest. So mostly, what do you see from here? That each and every Yid has a vested interest in the Tshuva of the other. At the end of the day, that's what we need. I need you to be a Baal Tshuva. You need me to be a Baal Tshuva. And if that means that I'm going to give up my sheep, I'm going to give up my money, then that is the investment that I am willing to make in another Yid's Tshuva. And I will say, why? Because investing in your being a Baal Tshuva and you're investing in me being a Baal Tshuva, at the end of the day, is the greatest, most incredible investment a Jew could ever make. That's number one. I will say, number two, where did this whole thing come from? This is the craziest Gemara you're ever going to see. Chazal made this whole takana based on what? One guy. Look how the Gemara is introduced to it. Right? The Gemara says, Maisa ba'adam echad. It doesn't say, you know, Chazal saw a number of different episodes of people who weren't doing tshuva. It will say, this was Maisa ba'adam echad. One guy. Chazal made a whole takana, based on one guy. We'll say, that never happens in halacha. Chazal will say, do you know in general in halacha, what happens if it's just one guy? What happens in halacha if anything is just one guy? We ignore it. That's what we call in halacha, miyot she'ena matsu. Nothing. Halacha doesn't legislate based on one guy, except when it comes to tshuva. Let's say, if there's the possibility of enabling one Yid to be a Baal Tshuva, enabling one Jew to come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then if Halacha has to turn the entire system on its head to bring one Jew back, then that is what Halacha is ready to do. I will say, the power of becoming a Baal Tshuva, the power of reconciling with the Divine, the power of ultimately again reconnecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chazal are willing to totally turn around the system of Halacha. We are willing to give up money so that each of us can become a Baal Tshuva. Rabbi will say, that is the power of Tshuva. We have to stop over here for today. But ultimately, again, Rabbi will say, so we'll pick up with this tomorrow, Mir Hashem. Rabbi will say, but what a way to begin the week. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, maybe for each of us, this is a week of Tshuva. Right? We all have an area in which we have to become Baal Tshuva. Right? We often use the phrase of a Baal Tshuva to refer to someone who doesn't necessarily live an affiliated life. But the truth is, it's not true. All of us have to become Baal Tshuva. Maybe we're starting off Sunday. We're starting off the first day of the week with the sugya of Tshuva. Maybe there's an incredible opportunity, incredible koach and Yiras Hashem this week for each of us to find the area where we want to become a Baal Tshuva and know that Halacha is behind us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is behind us, and we are behind one another. Rabbosai, Shkoyach.